I wanted to ask, how did your week of cleaning go? Last weekend, we spent some time talking about a challenge just with the new year to clean out the schlecht. And it was a new word I taught the church. I don't think anyone really recognized that word, being schlecht. It's a Pennsylvania Dutch word or slang word that means sweet, sugary food, the things that are not good for you but that we like to keep around. And so we talked about how post-holiday, we often have to clean out the schlecht, get rid of all the cookies and the candies, and just try to get on a health kick for the new year. And we said there's also a spiritual component, that we have spiritual schlecht, if you will, these things that we carry with us year to year that we just can't let go of, but really aren't good for us. And so we asked the question, what are you carrying that you need to clean house on? Anger, unforgiveness, unrepentance, bitterness, different emotional things that just really weigh us down and for whatever reason we just can't let go of. And so we talked about how do you clean house last week. And so I hope you had fun cleaning this week, both physically and spiritually. Hopefully your houses are spotless now and maybe you had some time with God to talk about some of the things you're carrying with you. But when we're cleaning, especially house cleaning specifically, there are things that we see, areas in the house that are very visible, and so when you clean them, you see the change. And there are areas of the house that when you clean them, you don't really notice a difference. Personally, I like to clean and organize and tidy up areas that you can see, because you kind of have that before picture and the after picture, to be able to stand back and go, wow, that looks so much better. To know that I spent an hour cleaning up the playroom or the toy room and it looks better, because you can see it. But the areas of the house that aren't as visible, I'm not as quick to clean up. The closets and the cupboards, you know, you just shut the door. No one else can see it. We're not as quick to address those areas. But about 2 weeks ago, I finally caved in and went to tackle one of these projects. It was a small one. It was just one small little cabinet, but it needed to be addressed. See, in our kitchen next to the sink, we have one of these really thin cabinets. And we decided when we moved in that this small cabinet, the bottom shelf, would be used for medicine because our bathrooms are upstairs and we didn't want to have to go the whole way upstairs to get Tylenol if we had a headache kind of thing, and for the vitamins and all the everyday things. And so we decided this shelf would just be for kind of a makeshift medicine cabinet in the kitchen, which was fine. It was great. Have a headache, grab Tylenol kind of thing. Well, over the last year and a half, that cabinet has gotten kind of messy and kind of full. Because now Alan is taking his Flintstone vitamins, and so we had to add that, and you know, the kids' Tylenol went in, and then Allison's taking prenatal vitamins, so that went in addition to her regular vitamins, and all of a sudden I realized, I can't find a single thing in this cabinet. And so I thought, okay, as much as I don't want to deal with this, it's time to pull everything out and reorganize it. And so as I began to kind of sort things out, I was also in the back of my mind going, well, where am I going to put all of this? Because it's clearly not going to fit in this cabinet. That's the problem. The cabinet is just too small. There's just no way to organize it all and fit it in there. But I thought, well, I'll figure out what fits, and then I'll figure out what doesn't fit and where else I go with that. But by the time I finished putting it back in, it all fit. I could find everything. It was organized. It made me happy. You know my OCD tendencies. But it all fit back in there. I thought, well, how in the world does this work? It was so cluttered and so disorganized, there was no way possible it would fit, but just taking a step back and spending some time decluttering, it all fit back in there. And I realized that sometimes that's all it takes, to take a step back to get some clarity, to reorganize and retie. It all fits. It's just a matter of figuring out where does it go. And so I wanted to spend some time today talking about that when it comes to our spiritual lives. What do our spiritual shelves look like? Spiritually speaking, what is getting pushed to the back of the shelf? What gets put in the front of the shelf because we use it every day? And do we need to take a step back and just say, how do I restructure this? How do we reorganize our shelves? Because we all push things to the back of the shelf, things that we don't use every day that just kind of get moved back. It's not intentional. It just happens as you go day by day throughout a year, things get pushed around. And so not everything in our lives can be prioritized and put up front. The vitamins that I took every morning, they were in the front of the shelf. But some things in our lives get put up front, and some things we just don't use often, they get pushed back and back and back, and all of a sudden we don't know where they went. So for some of us, it's pleasure activities, things that we enjoy doing by ourselves. And we go, I don't have time for those things. You know, when was the last time you read a book that you wanted to read with nobody bothering you? Or when was the last time you went to the movies just to see something you wanted to see? Well, I just don't have time for that. It gets pushed to the back. Or for other of us, maybe it's relationships. I love spending time with my friends, but I can't remember the last time that I just hung out with friends. I can't remember the last time that I got to go out to eat with a group of guys or a group of gals just to have fun with them, because I'm busy, and that gets pushed to the back of the shelf. And then for others of us, it's our walk with God. We say, well, I want to live for God, but I'm just so busy that God kind of gets pushed back a bit. You know, when was the last time that you were too busy to come to church, or too busy to spend time praying, or too busy just to spend time in God's presence? Not that you don't want to, but just our busy schedule, it gets pushed to the back of the shelf. We almost never intentionally put things back there. It just kind of happens. Time and busyness add up, and before we know it, we have to take a step back and go, where did all these things go? Just like last week, we had to ask the question of what things am I carrying that maybe I need to spend some time with God addressing? I want to ask the question this week of just take a step back and say, what priorities do I need to straighten out? How do I just take a step back and say, what does my shelf of time look like, and how do I reorganize it? Because when things happen slowly over time, it feels like it's no big deal. None of us are sitting here panicking about our priorities, but if we take a step back and say, where are they, we might notice some things are maybe a little misaligned. A few months ago, I started having a problem with my cell phone, which you guys know, cell phones are very important. So I listen to a lot of podcasts and music driving in my car, and so I usually use my cell phone, and you plug it in and put the auxiliary jack in, and I can listen through the car speakers. Well, a few months ago, I noticed that all of a sudden, every now and then, it would just stop working. I'd have to fiddle with the cable and it come back on. And over the course of several weeks, it got worse and worse and worse, till all of a sudden it didn't work at all. I couldn't listen to music or podcasts through my car speakers. I would just have to play it on my phone speakers, which really didn't work so well driving up to 222. I thought, well, I've heard that sometimes the Apple phones, they have problems with this. So whatever, it's not a big deal. It makes me sad, but we'll move on. Until all of a sudden, that same port is also how you charge the phone. And one morning I woke up and my phone was at 30%. It never charged. Yeah, that I just, you know, I must have not plugged it in right. And all of a sudden, this happened more and more and more until all of a sudden my phone wasn't charging at all. And I'm counting down the minutes till I have no phone left. And so I had to rush to the professionals, to the genius bar at Apple. And here, by putting my phone in my pocket over and over and over again, there had gotten some lint that got pushed in there. And every time I plugged the cable in, it pushed it farther and farther and farther back. And even when I'd spray the air in and try to clean it, wouldn't come out. And so they had to get a professional kind of thing to get in there and hook it out and clean out my phone. And it works perfectly now. But what I realized is we don't often think about the things that are getting pushed back little by little. I didn't intentionally put lint in there. I didn't intentionally push it back. But it slowly got pushed back farther and farther until all of a sudden it's too late. All of a sudden I've lost the ability to use my phone. I've lost my ability to walk with God faithfully each day because I pushed him farther and farther back one little bit at a time. And so I just want to ask that question. How do we look at our lives and say, what am I pushing back? What do I need to bring forward to be the start of a new year? Now, if I asked you, what are your priorities? Make me a list of your priorities. I know, without actually asking you, what you would say. You would say, well, my priorities, it's God and family and then work and then all the other stuff. Right? I don't have to actually ask you that to know that's what you would say to me. If you're a Jesus follower, if you walk with Christ, that's what we're told to say. And so if you said anything else other than that, we would all kind of look at you kind of funny. Oh, God's not at the top of your list? Okay. But many of us aren't living that way. Now, we all know that's the answer we should give. But if we look at your calendars, we look at your schedules, we go, I don't see that. And you could say the same thing of me some days. I'm preaching to myself here. Don't think that the pastor has this all figured out. It's sometimes our priorities don't line up with what we say because our shelves are getting disorganized. This same question of what's most important, what's most to be the best priority, was put to Jesus. What should my priorities look like? What should be first, Jesus? The question was phrased a little differently, but the gist was the same. They came to Jesus and they said, which law is most important? Now, in the Old Testament world, in the New Testament world, the Jewish faith, laws were important. Laws defined how you lived for God. As long as you followed the law, you were loving God. You were living for God. You were putting God first. The problem is there were so many laws, it was near impossible to do all of them, to follow all of them. And so your shelf got pretty full of laws and regulations, and so it was hard to figure out, how do I live every day following the law? And so the question was put, Jesus, which law is most important? If I want to prioritize God, which things do I have to do first and foremost? Now, if you know the story, the question was put to Jesus actually trying to get him in trouble, because there was no way to answer that question. You can't pick just one law, because if you say this is the important one, what about all of those? And so they were trying to get Jesus in trouble with the question, but he does something very interesting in his response. He basically summarizes all the laws into two simple parts. He basically gives us two simple priorities. What's most important? How do I live? Jesus gives us, here are two things. In a way, I think he takes some of the stress out of trying to organize ourselves. How do we figure out how to organize our lives? Jesus, let me just simplify it. Let me give you two simple things. Now, you probably know his answer. If you've grown up in the church or have been attending for a while, you've heard these verses. But I just want to read them quickly this morning so we're all on the same page. The story takes place in Matthew chapter 22. It says, hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together, and one of them, an expert in the law, tested Jesus with this question. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and all the prophets hang on these two commandments. So they go to Jesus. Jesus, what's most important? What do I have to do to love God? What do I have to do to fulfill my relationship with God? How do I prioritize my life? And Jesus says, love God with everything, with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind. Love God with everything. And the second thing you have to do is love others like yourself. That's it. That's how Jesus simplifies our priorities. He says, love God and then love others. That's what you need to do. Now, none of you would probably say this out loud, but I'll say it for you, because I read that and I go, love God, love others. Where do I fit in? Where's the me time? When do I get to go read a book or go to the movies? And it's actually in there. Because Jesus says, love others as you care for yourself, as you love yourself. And so I think it's interesting that even though Jesus doesn't spell it out, he actually implies personal care time. He implies that you need to take care of yourself, because the more you care for yourself, the more you can care for others. And so I just wanted to point that out this morning, that there is time included in there. Love God, love others, and take care of yourself so that you can love others more. And so we read these words. We read Jesus' simplified prayers, love God, love others, and they really seem to line up with what we know we should answer. What are your priorities? Well, it's God and then others. See, that's what Jesus says. So you said, well, what's your point this morning, Jan? Because you just told us that's what we're all going to say, but we don't necessarily live that way. And Jesus says the same thing. What's the point? I think we may actually be missing a subtle implication of what Jesus is saying. I think there's maybe a little bit deeper understanding of what does it mean to love God and love others, and how do I prioritize it? So when I was a youth pastor, our youth group was beginning to grow. When I started at the church, we had about 4 kids coming out each week. And then after a while, we were averaging 25 plus kids a week. And it was kind of nice. But then at least once in the spring and once in the fall, I would show up to youth group and the kids would start coming in. And by the time we started the service time, we had 40 plus kids there. And I'm like, I don't understand. This is amazing. And it wasn't that there were new faces. It was the same kids I saw all the time. They just all were there 1 week. And the next week they'd be gone. And then the fall would happen again. And what I finally figured out was there was that 1 week in the spring and 1 week in the fall where it was a transition week. One sporting event had finished, the next one's about to begin, or the school play had ended, the next thing. And it was that 1 week where there was nothing else going on. And what I realized is my kids were coming because they had nothing else better to do. Youth group just wasn't the top priority for them. And I wrestled with this for a while. I said, okay, is this wrong? And the obvious answer is, yes, this is wrong. You should come to youth group. You should come to church. And at the same time, I realized, is it wrong? No. There's a balance here. Because yes, we need to prioritize and we need to organize ourselves. We need to put God first. But there's a difference between prioritizing and legalizing. If a kid would miss youth group occasionally, if they would come several times but miss a couple other, was that okay? Well, that was okay. It wasn't a big deal. If you and I miss a week or two of church, does that mean we don't love God? Not necessarily. Now, you can say, okay, Jane, you're the pastor. You're up there every Sunday, and you're preaching every Sunday, and you're here every week, so you can't tell us what it means to miss church. Except if you were here every Sunday, you would know that 2 weeks ago on the 30th of December, I was not here. I took a vacation week. Do you know what I did Sunday morning? And I can say this because there's not many of you here. I slept in. I had a little bit of guilt. I actually did. I had to deal with that. But I actually slept in. My brother was preaching at his church. He preaches once a year. He was like, oh, come hear me preach. I said, oh, come hear you preach. And then I slept in. And I said, you know, is there something wrong with that? Does God now think that I don't love him? I said, well, no. It's just, I'm trying to prioritize, but it's not a legalistic thing. If you don't go to church X number of times, God thinks you don't love. That's not how it works. The problem isn't that we need to be legalistic about always being here, or always spending time in the Word each morning, or always praying X number of minutes a day. It's our heart attitude. So you kind of have two situations. You have the person who says, I'm going to go to church every week that I have nothing better to do. I'm going to go to church when the weather is sunny and the weather is perfect. And those are the weeks I'll go to church. But if there's anything else going on all weekend long, I'm too busy for church. Versus the person who says, look, I'm going to go to church and worship with my family at church as many Sundays as I can. But you know, when the weekend, when I have something all day Saturday and it's late Saturday night and I've got something Sunday afternoon and I'm so stressed out. So, you know, I think this week I'm just going to skip church. The pastor is standing in front of you this morning saying, that's okay. But it's when we say, I'm only going to church when there's nothing else on the calendar, that's when there's a heart issue here. What is my heart in coming to church? What is my heart in spending time in God's word or spending time in prayer? It's not just Sunday mornings, it's all week long. And it comes back to this idea that we need to prioritize God over legalizing our time with God. It's priorities over legalization. It's not about the percent of time I spend doing something. As long as I spend 10% of my week in church, I'm good. No, it's about the heart we put into the time. Technically, you could come to church once a month, or you could read your Bible one day a month. And as long as you had a real interested, you know, I'm really getting my heart into, I'm really trying to dig in this relationship with God, that would be better than coming to church every day or reading your Bible every day just to say you did it. It's not about the percent of time. It's about the heart that we put into the time. I don't have to tell you this. You know that we're all busy. I can just guess what your schedules look like because I know what my schedule looks like. Take a standard week. It has 168 hours in it. What do you do with that time? I found this pie chart this week because I like pie charts. This is the time used on an average workday for an employed person between 25 and 54 with children. So I know some of you are retired. This doesn't fit your schedule as well. But this is what people with kids who work full-time, this is what your day looks like. The big blue section and the big green section make up your work and your sleep. Two-thirds of any given workday for most of us is work and sleep, which means a third of our time is left for family and for eating and for like all the other things we have to do. And so you look at this chart and you go, wow, that is my day. If you're retired, you can give yourself a little bit more free time there, but for most of us, we go, that is my day. Where do I have time to prioritize God? How do I prioritize God? And that's where we start to get stressed. Because we know on the top of our list, it should be God. How do I put God first when I just don't have a lot of time? I think Jesus gives us the answer. Jesus says, love God with everything. He doesn't say, love God and then do everything. He says, love God with everything, with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind. It's not necessarily a matter of carving out God time each day and each week. That's important. I'm glad that you're here this morning to spend time in the Word and spend time worshiping. I hope that you're spending time in Scripture and praying each day, but it's not necessarily a matter of carving that time out. It's important, but it's not the end-all answer. I think the real question is, how can I love God? How can I put him first in everything that I'm doing? How do I make sure that God is first and the most important thing as I do everything else that I'm doing? Growing up, my family tried to do family devotion several times. Dad would try to start this thing. It never really took off for whatever reason, which is kind of ironic that I'm a pastor now and family devotions didn't work for us. But there was one lesson, one night that I distinctly remember the lesson. It's always stuck with me, and it was about priorities. And so I actually had written out the whole story here in my notes, and then Friday I was on Facebook, and there was a video that showed that story. And I thought, you guys get tired of listening to me talk, so watch this video for a second.
and story about a university professor who wanted to make a point about how we make the most of our time. The professor stood before his class with some items in front of him. When the class began, without speaking, he picked up a large empty jar and proceeded to fill it with rocks about 2 inches in diameter. He then asked the students if the jar was full. They agreed that it was full. So the professor then picked up a box of pebbles and poured them into the jar. He shook the jar lightly and watched as the pebbles rolled into the open areas between the rocks. The professor then asked the students again if the jar was full. They chuckled and agreed that it was indeed full this time. The professor picked up a box of sand and poured it into the jar. The sand filled the remaining open areas of the jar. "Now," said the professor, "I want you to recognize that this jar signifies your life. The rocks are the truly important things, such as family, health, and relationships. If all else was lost and only the rocks remained, your life would still be meaningful. The pebbles are the other things that matter in your life, such as work or school. The sand signifies the remaining small stuff and material possessions. If you were to put sand into the jar first, there is no room for the rocks or the pebbles. The same can be applied to your lives. If you spend all your time and energy on the small stuff, you will never have room for the things that are truly important. Pay attention to the things in life that are critical to your happiness and well-being. Take time to look after your health, play with your children, go for a run, write a letter to your grandmother. There will always be time to go to work, clean the house, or watch TV. Take care of the rocks first. The things that really matter, set your priorities. The rest is just pebbles and sand."
So obviously he doesn't mention God in there, but you can make the connection here that God would be our biggest rock. God is the most important rock. And so we put God in our jar first, and we fill everything else around him. And we take him with us into the pebbles and the sand. This is how it kind of works. We take God in everything we do. We put God first in everything while we do everything. It's not necessarily how do I love God, how do I prioritize God, and then do everything else I need to do afterwards, but how do I love God while I do everything? In Jesus' day, the Pharisees, this religious group of leaders, they really struggled with this idea because they loved legalistic things. They loved the law. They loved to have, here's what you do, here's what you don't do. They didn't necessarily understand how to prioritize things. To them, life was a checklist. As long as I do A, B, and then C, then I can do whatever I want. As long as I check these things off my list, then I can live however I want because I've done all the right things. It was more a matter of getting God out of the way first and then living. And I think what we realize is if we put God into a checklist, if God is the top of my list, when we're too focused on putting God at the top of the list, he can simply become another thing on the list. And this is where I think we get tripped up. We assume I have to put God as the first thing on my list, and then God gets the first chunk of time, or God gets the first of this. And then once I've given God that, then I can ignore him for the rest of the list. God should be at the top of our list, but if we only make him an item on the list, we very quickly check him off and move on. And I think we can be much like the Pharisees some days. I said, I'll start my week, I'll go to church on Sunday, I'll do the God thing, and then the rest of the week, I can just live my way, because I did God first, and I got him out of the way. I'll start my day in Scripture, I'll spend some time praying each morning, and then the rest of the day is mine. I put God first, and I've got him out of the way. And he quickly becomes an item that we try to check off. He's first, but only in that he's first, and then he's out of the way. Instead of a checklist approach, I think we need a lifestyle approach. How can I love God and then love others with everything that I have? How can I love God and then love others in everything I do? It's this idea of how do I make my life a lifestyle of putting God first? I think we could almost paraphrase Jesus this morning. We need to, quote, love the Lord our God with all of our friends, all of our coworkers, and all of our family. I need to love the Lord your God with all of your work, all of your chores, and all of your play. You need to love the Lord your God in all of your sports, and all of your dance, and all of your music, and all of your entertainment. How do I say I'm going to love God in everything I'm doing, as I do everything that's in my busy day? It's not a matter of fitting God into my schedule, but I think rather wrapping my schedule around loving God. Not putting God into the schedule, but putting my schedule around God. In fact, if we look into the Old Testament, this is exactly what God says to the Israelites. This is how he says, Israelites, you are to raise your children to know me. Here's how you do it. You wrap your schedules around me. Deuteronomy 6, verses 4 through 9. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk with them about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, and when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on your door frames of your houses and on your gates. If you caught that, Jesus' answer that he gave the Pharisees came from God's word to the Israelites. God says, love God, love me with everything you have. And Jesus says, you want to know what your priorities are, do that. Priorities are to love God first, love others. Love God with everything you have, and then teach your kids how to love God. Not by setting aside a chunk each day, okay, this is God time, guys. We're going to get together and have family devotions, and this is God time, and the rest of the day we can do whatever we want. No, incorporate God into your day, into your routine. He says, talk about me and teach my law when you're sitting at home, when you're walking along the road, when you're in the car, at bedtime, when you get up in the morning. Every chunk of the day, make sure that you're wrapping me into it. That you're showing your kids how to love me as you go about your day. Make it part of what you wear. The Israelites had different boxes they would bind to their arms and their forehead that had parts of the scripture written on. They would actually wear God. They would put him on their homes, on their door frames. They had, I forget what they're called now, but the little thing, mezuzahs. Thank you. See, that's why I forgot the word, because that's not something I use every day. But they would put it on part of their house. They would put God into every component of their lives. Not just putting him first, okay, this is the God chunk of the day, but in every part of what they did each day. To be a parent, you really need to understand what this looks like. How do I put God in everything, take God with me in everything, not just putting him at the top of a list? To prioritize God while doing life. This is what it looks like scripturally to raise godly kids. And so a few weeks ago, when I was asked, well, when are we having our next child dedication? Because we had a baby and some other kids that were saying we'd like to be dedicated. I was like, well, this week would make perfect sense to do that because it's a great application of what we're all being called to do. How do I refocus my shelf, my spiritual life, to put God in everything as my top priority? And so we have two families today who want to take that public commitment to do with their kids what we all need to do with our lives. To put God first in everything we do, for these families, we're specifically talking about with their kids. And so I want to invite Brittany and then Tim and Ashley to come up this morning because they want to dedicate their children and say, this is what we want to do. We want to put God first in everything. And you guys can stand down. I'll come down in a second to join you. As we think today about putting God first in every aspect of our lives, Tim and Ashley and Brittany are reflecting on how best do they do this as parents. To impress God into their children's lives at every turn. To show God's love and share God's love in the lives of their children each day in everything they do. Now, one of the ways that we reflect on this and celebrate this here at HBIC is with jars of marbles. And they're kind of hiding because of our poinsettias from Christmas yet. But if you guys have been here before, you've seen my jars of marbles. We've talked about these marbles. Each marble in the jar represents 1 week from today until the time a child graduates high school, until the time they become adults and go off to college. And the question that we have to ask is, how do we make our marbles count? How do we make our time as parents count with our children? Am I investing each week of their lives so that they know God and what it means to live for God? And so we can talk about that this morning too, of how do you make each marble count? And also, how do I surround each marble with God? Kind of pulls back that video with the rocks and the pebbles. How do I fit God into this jar? Not as an afterthought, but that he's core to the jar. And I'm going to put this down because it's rather heavy. That's Thomas's jar, so it's almost entirely full because he's quite little yet. And so this morning, we just want to ask that question And reflect on that with these two families to say, how are we going to put God first when it comes to raising our kids? And so they're going to make some promises this morning to God and to us as witnesses. And then we as a congregation actually will make a promise back to them. Because they want to raise their kids in a godly home, to know God. But then they also want to worship with us and have us as a support system. And so we as a congregation will make a promise to them as well that we will support them in helping them to raise godly kids. And so we're going to have a couple statements of dedication here this morning. I don't want to get in the way of the cameras. If I stand over here, am I good? All right. So I'm going to read these statements, and then you guys have your answers obviously up there. And then don't get too relaxed, because there'll be some things for you guys to do in a moment. But God has been, this is echoey, I'm going to stand behind you now. Faithful believers.
God's help you will.
Will you, a lot of help? Yeah, you need a lot of help. I know that. That's what we're here for, too. Will you strive to teach your children God's word, faithfully bringing them to corporate times of worship, to church and Bible study, encouraging them in a personal faith with Jesus as their Savior?
God's help you will.
And then I believe the next one is for us as a congregation. Do you all commit to actively supporting these parents and grandparents? Sorry, last time it was grandparents, I didn't take that. These parents. Will you actively supporting these parents as they raise their children in the faith to be present in the kids' lives and invest your time and your influence in seeing them grow in the faith through your prayers and your presence? And we all answer, with God's help, we will. And so I want to pray this morning specifically for Thomas. I need to get over here to him and the girls. I'm just going to kind of squeeze in here because I can pray for everybody right here. Just step on Caleb. He's okay. Blue, will you join me in prayer this morning? God, we thank you for kids. As crazy as they make our lives, they are such a blessing. And so this morning, we specifically bring before you Thomas and Avery and Morgan, knowing that you have gifted these parents, Brittany and Tim and Ashley, with these special little guys and girls. So, Lord, we pray for Thomas that you would just, even now at a couple months old, 3 months old, that you would even now be speaking to his heart, that he would come to know you as his Savior, that you would fill him with joy of knowing you and just a desire to serve you. We pray for Avery and for Morgan, as we already see their passion for you growing, as they're so excited to be here at church each week and serving, even as they hand out the bulletins each morning. God, would you just continue to impress your love on their hearts, that they would know you and just have such a passion for you. God, would you equip Brittany, equip Ashley and Tim as they go day by day trying to love their kids, helping them to understand who you are and how much you love them. I know it can be challenging as a parent some days. And so, Lord, we come before you saying we want to put you first in everything we do, specifically with our kids. So, Lord, would you strengthen them as parents to just do the best job they can do as you empower them with your spirit and help us as a church to support them in every way we can, that we would prioritize their children as much as we prioritize our own. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to try not to step on Caleb as well.
No, you can step on him.
Oh, I can step on Caleb. You guys can have a seat. We're going to wrap things up, and then I'll give you your jars and stuff later. But what they just did this morning, and I wanted to put it in the sermon, which really messed with everyone's schedules this morning, because we usually do this before the sermon or after the sermon. But what they just did is such a perfect picture of what we need to do. To take that step back and say, we want to pause and look at our schedules, look at our priorities and say, what are we putting first? How am I putting God into everything I do? Not just first and then everything after, but in everything. And so what they did is what we need to do. Don't look at them and say, wow, that was a wonderful job as parents. Thank you so much for doing that, guys. And now the rest of us can go home and not think about it the rest of the week. Because what they did is what we need to do. What does your spiritual shelf, using that kind of analogy, what does your shelf look like? Is it organized? Can you find everything? Can you find God throughout your day? Or is it disheveled and chaotic, much like my medicine cabinet was? Are things getting pushed to the back of your shelf? Is God getting pushed out of the way because of your busyness? Again, it's not about being legalistic. Many of us grew up in these settings where we said, if I don't go to church every Sunday, God's not going to love me. As your pastor, I would love to see you every Sunday. I would love to see you multiple times a week. But if you're not here one Sunday, I don't think you stopped loving God. You may have stopped loving me, and I get sad. But no, it's not about being legalistic. It's about putting God first in everything you do. If you miss a Sunday or two, are you taking God with you wherever you are? If you're busy with a sporting event or your kids, are you taking God with you to that place, in that thing, even though you can't be here? When you're at work, are you taking God with you and putting him first as you go about your workday? When you go out of town, when you're on vacation, when you're traveling, are you taking God with you and say, you know what, I may not be at home, I may not be in my normal routine, but God is going to be in all things and first in my life. When you're at home and you're relaxing, you're actually getting to read that book or watch that movie, is God in that? Are you recognizing that God's part of that activity as well? It's not about putting God at the top of a list. It's about making the list with God in all things. And it's such a subtle difference. This doesn't sound very different from what we're doing. But to take a step back and just say, is that how I'm living? Am I putting God in all things? Am I prioritizing God? Am I trying to spend as much time as I can with God in the midst of my busyness? But more importantly, is God in all things? Am I making him in the midst of, am I loving him with everything I do and everything I go through the week with? That's really the question we need to ask. So I realized this morning, in a way, I'm kind of preaching to the choir, because you all are here when we had snow. So you all get an A+. But at the same time, I don't want to just assume that because you came to church on a snowy Sunday morning, that maybe we're not struggling with this in other ways. What does Monday look like for you? What does Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday look like? Because if we're not taking God with us all day, every day, then we're missing the mark on what it means to love God with everything, with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And so I'm simply going to pray this morning that God would give us a moment of clarity this week as we spend time with him to maybe show us some places and some times throughout our day and throughout our week that maybe we need to work on this. Because if we want to live a life fully for God this year, we need to work on cleaning the shelf up and just putting God back where he belongs. Let's pray. God, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for those who were able to come despite the snow, because this is important, to be together as a body to worship you. Not to check it off our list, not to say, okay, I did church, so I get credit for that, but to say, I want to be here with you, God, to worship you, to be with my brothers and sisters in Christ, to encourage one another, to lift each other up. And so, God, I pray this week, as we go about our routines, as we go through the busyness that we all are struggling with, God, would you show us a couple areas that maybe we're struggling with to take you first, to put you in the midst of the work, to put you in the midst of the school, to put you in the midst of homework and bedtime and all the routines, God, because we do want to love you with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, God, with all of our strength, with everything that we do. So Holy Spirit, would you speak to our hearts this week? Show us the areas that we need to work on. And God, even show us the areas that we're doing a good job with, so that we just understand this is what it looks like to live for you. God, help us to have the cleanest shelves, spiritually speaking, that you were always up front and you were always accessible because you were always with us. And we pray this and ask this all in Jesus' name this morning. Amen.